Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're very glad to have you with us. I think these days, just about everybody is concerned with stretching their dollars just as far as they possibly can. Everybody's looking for ways to save money. And certainly, there are a lot of things here that just seem to take an increasing bite out of our budget, cost of energy and cost of food and, well, just about everything. So we thought, you know, it might not be such a bad idea to sit down here and try to have a conversation about some very basic ways that in our daily lives and around our homes we can save money. And we have two guests here with us. They both work in the Champaign County Office of U of I Extension, Angela Reinhart and Steve Ayers. Angela Reinhart, her area is family life. She's been a family life educator since January of 1999 and works in a lot of areas including parenting and childcare, family nutrition, financial skills. Steve is his unit educator in farm business and marketing, and he does a lot of work with local farmers and people in agribusiness, and in works in areas like estate planning, as well as marketing and business management. And so they have the two of them here in the studio, and they're prepared to share some information with you. And what we're also hoping is that people who are listening, maybe you have a good money-saving tip. You can call in and tell us about something that you have done around your home that has resulted in saving money, and you'd like to pass that on to other people who are listening. And that would be great, too. So the number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's for local folks here. If that's where you are, use that number. We also have the toll-free line, and that means we'll save you the money on the call. How about that? That's 800-222-9455, if it would be a long-distance call for you. So either way, you want to join in here the conversation, give us a call. Well, thanks very much to both of you for being here. We appreciate it. I'm wondering, and maybe this, you know, you can't really say it depends one family to the next, but do you think it, for almost anybody, if we sat down with them and we kind of asked them, how do you spend your money? What are you spending money on? What's your daily life like? Could you say to them, I can find you some ways that you can save money?
Absolutely. Almost everybody has just habits that they do without even thinking about, especially when it comes to shopping for groceries. We tend to do the same things over and over again. Or, you know, when we eat out, we tend to eat out without thinking too much about it if we haven't actually planned to put that in our schedule. And I know a lot of us that work, you know, some days we can get something made before we go out the door, and other days we're like, oh, it's 12:30. I haven't eaten. I need to go grab something. And so, you know, sometimes we end up spending more on food than we planned to because we were just hungry and everything looks good. And especially if you run into the grocery store and everything looks good, it's definitely going to cost you more to get the food that you leave with than you would have if you actually had a plan.
Yeah, I always think that's a good principle. Don't ever go to the grocery when you're hungry. It's probably a bad idea. So, something else, and I think probably if you talk with people who do financial planning, I think that one of the first things that they'll say to people is that in order to get a handle on your spending, you have to know what you're spending your money on. And I think that sometimes that makes people cringe because they say, ooh, you mean I'm going to have to do a budget? That's what you're talking about, aren't you? And probably the financial planner will say, well, actually, yes, that is what we're talking about. Or at least, you know, you ought to know how much you spend on energy every month. How much you spend on gasoline, how much you spend on food, what's your phone bill, you know, what are your fixed expenses, those things that you maybe can't change or maybe can change a little. And I'm guessing that probably there are a lot of people who really don't have a very good idea where their money is going.
Well, that's it. You know, number one baseline is establish where your money goes. Just for a two-week period, every time you buy something, write it down and mm-hmm. save the receipts, and then once a week compile that, and that establishes where your money goes. And then you have to see what's left over. Hopefully there's something left over. Yeah. If there's not, you have to consider increasing the income or reducing where the money goes.
Yeah. Do you think that people end up being surprised, do you think, where if they do that, then they realize maybe certain things that they're spending money on? They say, well, I have on my way to work every day, I stop at a coffee shop and I get coffee. They maybe say, I had no idea how much money that was. And it may be that you'd say, well, okay, fine. You want to spend your money on that? Cool. But you really ought to at least know how much that's costing you.
Well, and there's a handy worksheet that, you know, how to save a nickel when I don't have a dime to spare. And it goes through and helps you think about where your money actually goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think people should actually start? What should be the first thing that they do?
Probably the first thing is to get their annual credit report. And there's a number of essentially imposter sites out there, free credit report and that type of thing. About 3-4 years ago, the three credit bureaus got together and allowed each consumer the opportunity to get their credit report free once a year. And that's Experian, TransUnion, and
Equifax.
And Equifax, right. And I wrote a column on that a couple weeks ago as far as I was able to do that online in 36 minutes to get all three brought up. And it's at annualcreditreport.com. And that's the number one step. It doesn't cost you anything, and that establishes your baseline. It reviews your all your personal information, employment information, and then goes through all your credit cards, payment histories, and that's how lenders determine how creditworthy you are. Mm-hmm. They combine the annual credit report with the FICO score. Normally, you don't really need to worry about the FICO score unless you are planning a major purchase, and then you might consider there is no free FICO score. Those you purchase for $7 to $10, depending on what where you do get those. Mm-hmm. But start with obtaining your annual credit report once a year. Monitor that, and that gives you the baseline. If there are any inaccuracies in it, in writing, you need to go back to each of the credit bureaus that have the inaccurate information and get it corrected.
Mm-hmm. So, again, I think it's important for people to understand that the credit agencies, they would like to sell you an enhanced service.
Right.
But if you really just want to get the basic stuff, they are required to give that to you for free. So don't get into something where you think that you're having to pay money to get that information, because you don't.
Well, and that's what in conversations with the consumer and family educators is, they recommend that you really don't need those monitoring services unless you have had a problem in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can also fix your own credit about the same as, you know, there's a lot of agencies out there saying they'll fix a bad credit report for you. But really what they can do for you is the same thing you can do for yourself. You just have to, have your account numbers and tell what the problem is and get it corrected without, you know, sometimes people will pay agencies fees and things like that to go look into their credit and try to repair it. But a lot of that you can do yourself.
Okay. So that's something that everybody should do every year, and it's free. Mm-hmm. And if you have internet access, you can do it online. It's a pretty easy thing. It's not going to take very much time. What other sorts of things are there, you know, particularly easy things just in terms of getting some control over your finances that you would suggest that people do?
Well, you were talking earlier about, you know, knowing your fixed expenses and your flexible expenses. And really, the groceries are one of the ones that it's sort of fixed, but for the most part, it's flexible. It's a little bit more flexible than some of the others that you have. So maybe you've got a certain amount of money that you always spend on your utilities, like your lights and your gas and your phone bill and that kind of thing. You can get those to be a lot more predictable to make it easier to have a spending plan by getting on a budget bill. So that, for example, in the wintertime, you're not hit with a $350 or more charge for your gas bill. And, you know, in the summertime, it's only $20 or $40 or whatever. Get that leveled out. That makes it a lot easier to plan. And you can also monitor then where you're at all year long, because there's always a reconciliation period at the end of the year where you can then catch up, whether you might be ahead, you might be behind a little bit. But, you know, it doesn't matter because it's all on a pre-planned type of thing. We've done that. I've raised four kids, my husband and I have, and that's really helped us as a family just kind of keep track of things. You know, other times, certain times a year, you know, that are coming, like right now, it's extremely expensive for a lot of families going, sending kids back to school. And I was really surprised. I did an article over the weekend in the News Gazette that talked about the Retail Foundation says this time of year when we're sending kids back to school is the second highest time that we spend money other than the holidays for Christmas and whatnot.
Really?
And the average household spends about $600 sending a child back to school. And that's, I think they're looking into, you know, not only book costs and things like that, but, you know, and the things that they need for school. But we tend to also then buy them some new clothes or new shoes or whatever this time of year to send them back in good shape. But, or people are decorating their dorms or, you know, different things too. When you're sending a college kid back, it still costs about $600 just straight out of pocket to send your college kid back to school. Mm. I was really surprised at that. I mean, I knew we always felt the pinch this time of year, but didn't really realize it added up to that many dollars at once. And then I just took one in the other day just to register for the last year of high school, and it was $174 just for the book fees and things like that. And I think, you know what, we're probably not too far from this.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about is energy, home energy use. And this is something that I would expect probably for a lot of families. This is going to be a big chunk of their monthly expenses. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, on and off, I'm sure, in a lot of ways on other shows, we've talked a lot about. And that sometimes people think in terms of a major – it takes some kind of major expense to realize savings, something like buying a new furnace, mm-hmm. or maybe putting in more insulation or new windows or something like that. And that's certainly true. If you have a really old furnace – you can save money. Eventually, it'll pay you back if you put it in a furnace. But that's a big upfront cost. So what I'm thinking is, are there some things that just about anybody could do around their house to reduce their energy use that are really, you know, easy and not terribly expensive, not on the order of buying a new furnace?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is, you know, just turning the furnace down at least 2 degrees saves you quite a bit of money. Also, you know, think about keeping things in good repair. I think that's the number one thing that you can do, because that'll make your appliances last longer and your furnace last longer. You can put in some extra insulation maybe in the attic, caulk the cracks that you find in, you know, foundations or round doors or whatever, everything that would keep the cold out or the heat from coming in the summertime. Another big thing is to make sure that you repair all the leaks that you have. Leaking water costs quite a bit, and homes can waste more than 10% of their water bill just due to leaking, and that equals to about 200 gallons a day if you have a leaky toilet, for example. So that can really add up in a hurry. Flushing accounts for about 40% of our water costs in our home. Believe it or not, we're flushing that down. 40% of the money we have in the water bill is just going down the toilet, literally. You know, and so there's a lot of the little things that, you know, like turning off the water while you're brushing your teeth can save 5 or 10 gallons. It doesn't seem like the water's coming out that fast, but it does. Changing a shower head can save a lot of money in water costs. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, just a lot of little things, like the more you can do to update some of the smaller items around the home can, you know, it's one of those little, it's like kind of like what Steve was saying about how you can save a dime when you don't have any money to spare kind of thing. Those little things add up to big things over time.
Yeah. Just the one thing that you mentioned, I think the first thing you mentioned is one of the things that maybe will surprise people a lot, and that is if you can, if you're heating and cooling, if you can in the wintertime keep it a little colder, mm-hmm. and in the summertime you could stand it for it to be a little warmer, even by, you're saying, just even 2 degrees
makes a big difference.
Set, so keep it 2 degrees, you know. If ordinarily you'd say, gee, I'd like it to be 70 in the house, set if you set your thermostat at 68, mm-hmm. And you do the same thing in the wintertime or you know, whatever, put on a sweater or wear shorts, you can actually save a significant amount of money. And I'm not sure how much difference that really is going to make in terms of your comfort. 2 degrees.
Right. Usually it's minor. I mean, you know, we've done that with our house and it makes a difference. Sometimes you just, you know, grab a little Afghan and throw over yourself when you're sitting there or put a sweater on. But it does make a difference in the overall bill. Another thing, you know, is think about keeping your filters cleaned. Also, another thing that makes a difference, we're talking about even if you're worried about your comfort at home, at least when you're not home, turning that heating or cooling down can make a big difference. You know, so like you're not air conditioning the house all day, but you're not there, you can at least turn it where it's a little bit warmer. And then when you get home, then you can cool it down and make yourself a little bit more comfortable. The windows and the window coverings, the drapes make a big difference in reducing heating and cooling costs, keeping them closed, having insulated drapes maybe on a side that lets a lot of sunlight in, keeping those closed so that you're keeping the cool air in or the heat out, mm-hmm. Or whatever, that kind of thing. Also, you know, looking at the energy efficiency of your air conditioners and appliances, especially, you know, like water heaters are a big source of what is taking a lot of energy costs in your house. And, looking at just small things. I mean, even turning off appliances that nobody's using or not keeping things plugged in that you're not using. You know, right now we're using a lot of home energy, plugging in chargers for phones and plugging in computers when nobody's there. A lot of electronics are starting to use up, energy that and nobody's using them.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have really wondered about, and we have not done this in our house, but I know that people have, is make the move to the compact fluorescent bulb. And I have certainly read that it can cut down on your energy usage if you switch to that kind of light. And I guess I've always wondered, well, really how much money do you save, particularly because these bulbs, to buy them in the first place, they're expensive. So your upfront cost is more. And the idea is that they will last longer and they will use less energy. So eventually that should pay you back. But, you know, I guess it's something that I have not done. And I wonder just how much of a difference that is going to make.
Well, I didn't bring statistics on that. I wish I did because, I guess Steve handed me something.
Steve, he came prepared.
We're going to make Steve talk about this. It says in Illinois, a household replaced one light bulb with an 18-watt compact fluorescent light bulb. The results would be equivalent to, let's see, removing 74,000 vehicles from Illinois roads annually, removing 82 pounds of mercury, planting 39.4 million trees, and removing 294,000 tons of carbon emissions from the air. That makes a huge difference.
So that's it. So if everybody just replaced one conventional bulb in their house with one compact fluorescent, it would make that much. The impact on energy use for the entire state would be that.
Right. It would, because it said, their incandescent bulbs waste 90% of their energy making heat, while the compact fluorescent light bulbs use 75% less energy to produce the same amount of light. So that is a big difference. Hmm. Well, and one of them can last up to 10 years.
Right. That's off the IllinoisEnergy.org. And there's also a terrific website for homeowners. It's the Home Energy Saver. And it's sponsored by the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. And it's at HES, which is Home Energy Saver, .LBL is Lawrence Berkeley Lab, .gov. And you can do it's the first web-based do-it-yourself energy audit. And you just put in your zip code and away you go. And again, that is well worth the effort as far as identifying if you need additional insulation and where energy savings might be useful in your own home.
Yeah.
And then also energy efficiency and renewable energy is a website that the Department of Energy has, is eere.energy.gov. And both those are very useful with just pages after pages of useful tips for the home homeowner.
Okay. Both our guests here this morning, Steve Ayers and Angela Reinhart, work in the Champaign County Office of U of I Extension. They're educators here, and Steve, his area is farm business and marketing. Angela, her area is family life. And we're just trying to give you some practical suggestions, things that people can use in their own lives and their own homes as ways of saving money. And if you have something you'd like to suggest, do that. Give us a call and tell us about something that you have discovered. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. And probably we should, Steve, we should mention too that Extension has on the Extension website a lot of this kind of information. So again, people have internet access and they're looking for that kind of information. Where do they go?
Well, there's a wealth of information. Probably starting out there, the consumer and family educators have a Retire Well blog. And you can just Google Retire Well blog, and that is updated every few days by a consumer and family educator, and they have been focusing on tips from going back to school for grocery shopping, just you name it. Every day it's a different topic. And again, that's off the Plan Well, Retire Well website, sponsored by the Consumer and Family Economist. And that really is probably the great place to start because we all need to think about retirement. A relatively new website is More for Your Money, is Using Your Money Wisely. And that you just go to the Extension website and then type in money, and there'll be a number of websites. There is another one concerning financial financial risk that kind of helps you plan what insurance you might need. And also the Consumer and Family Economics website there has a number of tabs that you can go to learn about specific areas of insurance, whether you need the different types of long-term care insurance, the various programs that Extension offers for youth on up through retirees.
Okay. Well, let's talk with a caller here. We have somebody in Urbana, line number one, to talk with right here. Hello.
Hi. I have some thoughts, some of which I've enacted myself. For one thing, in Urbana, which is where I live, we pay, I think it's $28 a year recycling tax. And for that, we get this nice, huge, covered, rolling recycling container. It's as big as a big garbage can. And I don't always fill it up, although at the moment I've got it filled up with cardboard. When Urbana started providing those to residents using the money from the tax, recycling went up dramatically because it's much more convenient. You can stick things out even if it's going to be raining. It's not heavy. And this got me thinking, that along with the advent of the website freecycle.org, where you can give things away for free. We had replaced our radio and tape deck in our minivan with one that had a CD player, and I had this perfectly good thing that fit only in my particular make of vehicle dashboard. And I kept it around on the shelf for a while, not wanting to add it to the landfill because it was perfectly good. And then when I discovered FreeCycle, I offered it on FreeCycle because you had to find the right person, and I had four people who wanted it within 24 hours. So that ended up being reused instead of being in the dump. There's also the Habitat Restore in Champaign. And there are places where you can take metal to be recycled. So we have a container in our workroom where we toss little bits of metal, nails, odds and ends, and when we get a bucket full and we're going in that direction, we drop it off. I've heard that copper, for instance, one-third is still in the ground, one-third is in use, and one-third is in landfills. And with the rising demand for copper, people are losing copper from downspouts. It's being stolen out of buildings, et cetera, et cetera. I'm waiting for aluminum to get to be that kind of price. With all the recycling that we do, and we also compost stuff and just chop up leaves and put them back on our ground cover in our yard, I was realizing we had very little garbage. We have some, and sometimes we have more than other times. So I talked with another neighbor that I thought probably didn't have very much garbage, and we've gone in together on garbage collection. So we pay once for garbage collection instead of for two households. And we decided by mutual agreement to give what we save to an organization we're both fond of that's a member of United Way and doesn't get a lot of attention. And we could have pocketed the money, but it's a significant savings over the course of a year to eliminate garbage collection for one household. So that's one thing. Another thing we do is we have a solar clothes dryer. And I like to call it a solar clothes dryer because it sounds fancy. But it's just a clothesline, and we don't use it all the time. If it's freezing out or it's raining or we have to have something dried and we don't have time to get it dried outside, we stick it in the dryer. But I don't know how much we're saving, but I get to hear the birds outside, and even my husband's become a convert. He used to resist, but now he hangs his stuff out because he does his own laundry. I'm wondering whether we're considering getting a new washing machine, one that is a high efficiency washing machine, but I don't know whether that's any better actually than just double spinning your clothes. I understand you can wring more water out of the clothes by adding a second spin cycle. Another thing we do is we wash our dishes only once. One of the things I've noticed when friends come over and they offer to help with the cleanup after dinner, or we go to somebody else's house, is the number of people who wash their dishes and by hand. And then stick them in the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. They just rinse them, often with some hot water, because it's more comfortable. And then they put them in the dishwasher. What's the point of having a dishwasher if it's not good enough to do the job? I think about all the water and the energy that's being wasted. We don't use, I can't tell you when I last bought a box of aluminum foil. I don't know if a lot of people realize how much energy is used to extract aluminum, the metal from the aluminum ore. It's very, very high. And as I recall, I saw somewhere that even recycling one aluminum can saves enough electricity to power a television for 3 hours. So I think, I can put a cloth over the thing I'm taking to somebody's house for a potluck. I don't have to put aluminum foil over it. When I microwave lasagna in the microwave oven, I put another glass container over the top of it instead of using plastic wrap. I have a bunch of containers that I can reuse instead of using stuff that I'm paying money to use once and then throw away. It seems like there's a lot of things that we can do around the house. Things like that that we don't have to do all the time. I do own aluminum foil. I do use it once in a while. But I very seldom do, and I think these small things add up, and perhaps other people have other ideas like that. Thanks a bunch. Right, do you have any thoughts about this double spinning of in the washer, whether that's worth doing?
Well, I got to the point, too, where we had to replace our washing machine. Like I said, I have a family of six, and we'd talked about doing it for a while. We actually got Consumer Reports, and we're looking at the best models and the energy efficiency, the star, rating and that kind of thing. And there were quite a few of the ones that they rated really high right here in Champaign-Urbana. We shopped up here. We shopped in Tuscola and some of the Savoy and, around the area trying to find the best deal. And so we did end up buying one in December, and it does save us quite a bit of water. The water-efficient washing machines are supposed to use between 20 and 25 gallons of water a load, and they're like a double loader. They're about twice the capacity of a single standard washing machine. And a standard washing machine uses about 45 to 55 gallons a load, depending on what size you use. If you've got a smaller one, like a compact one that you might have in an apartment, they use still about 32 gallons of water per load. So it does. And the biggest thing about it, too, is not only does it save a lot of water washing your clothes, but then it also lowers the energy used is about 50% less, and then the clothes are almost dry by the time you've got them out of there, so you really reduce the need for drying as well.
Okay. Well, I hope that helps. I one of the things that I like that the caller suggested with this idea, if you have two people, you have neighbors who don't generate a whole lot of trash, going in together and just having essentially having one account. I like that a lot. And it makes me think about the times that I've thought of things like, well, does everybody have to have their own lawnmower? I mean, could you work out a deal with a couple of neighbors to say, could we go together? Could we buy one lawnmower? Could we get a snowblower for the block and, you know, have it live at somebody's house and then take turns going out and plowing out the entire sidewalk while you're doing that? I just think it'd be – I like that idea about people cooperating, and it also would save money too. So I like that idea a lot.
Well, that's kind of the old being neighborly.
I guess it is kind of the old being neighborly, isn't it?
$4 gas causes a lot of creativity.
Yeah, exactly. We had a call from somebody, by the way, who was interested in the idea of a home energy audit. Do you know, are there people who will do that, who for a fee will come to your house and look at everything that uses energy and look around and make suggestions?
I'll have to do a little more research on that. Off the top of my head, I don't know of anyone. I would suggest trying the one online at first. I think there are a few consulting engineers and that type of thing that may get involved in that. But off the top of my head, I guess I would refer them, give me a couple days and let me do a little research. They can call me at the office.
Okay, good. Very good. All right, let's talk with, I think we have somebody here on line number two to talk with. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay. I was getting connected, I missed how many gallons does a front-loading Energy Star washer use?
The water-efficient front-loading ones are about 20 to 25 gallons a load, so it's about half of a regular standard washing machine.
And the front-loading?
They're front-loading.
Okay. And right now I'm doing something to save money. I'm sitting at the side of the road in the shade of the building on a cell phone, and that's not saving money, but I'm on a bike.
Excellent. Very good.
So I just took a trip from West Champaign to Strawberry Fields, and I'm going up to Menard. So this town is getting even better for biking. There's now a map that you can get from the bike shops that a group put out. It's free, and it shows you which streets are the most congenial for bikers. Then I believe Illinois Power used to do energy audits. I don't know if they still do, but that might be a place to start to call them. Another thing you can do as far as the lawn is you can get rid of it and grow Creeping Charlie, or you can grow ground cover instead of grass, and you can put in more flowers and vegetables. Perennials take some work, but once you've done the initial work, they take a lot less work than a lawn, and they're a lot prettier. And you can also, throw some vegetables in the middle of your flower garden. It works. Another thing you can do is put a bucket in the shower, and when you're getting the water up to temperature, or when you turn off the shower before you when you hit the plunger before you turn off the faucets, you can collect that water and you can use it for flushing the toilet. You can also disconnect the U joint underneath your bathroom sink and put a bucket there and do the same thing. Another thing that is good for both dieters and or people who want to watch their calories and for saving money is to buy a large package of whatever, like treats or things you're going to put in lunches, and divide them up into sandwich bags according to the serving size and have them ready. And then you can just throw it in your lunch or your kid's lunch, or pull it out when you want a snack, and you can reuse those bags too. So those are a few of the things I do. One more thing is ceiling fans in every room can really reduce the need for air conditioning to a few days a year, especially when it's a summer like this one.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any comment you guys would want to make on anything that the caller mentioned?
You should get their names and have them on the show.
I agree with her with both the ceiling fans. We do that too. That does make your home feel a lot cooler. I mean, most of the buildings that I'm in, as I'm traveling around, the air conditioning is really set fairly cold. But, you know, I keep my house at usually 78, even with the central air on when it's on. And we have the ceiling fans on. And it's hot day, you know, when it's in the mid-90s or so. If you start moving around, yeah, you're going to start sweating some. You need to maybe cool it a little bit more. But really, it's very comfortable. In the summer like this, I've hardly had the air on at all because we've used the ceiling fans. The other thing she was talking about with snacks, I agree with that 100%. There's a lot of convenience things that we're buying on impulse. You know, right now, one of the catch things that you see in the grocery store are these like 100 calorie packs of snacks and things like that. And, you know, just taking a bigger, bulkier box and dividing that into the serving size can really save you quite a bit of money over just the convenience of picking up something and throwing it in your lunch without thinking about it.
Anything else? We talked way back at the beginning about that you can, one of the ways maybe you want to save money when you're going to the grocery store is knowing what you're there for.
Exactly.
Having your list. I'm going for these things, and that's all. We end up spending extra money on the impulse buy. And another suggestion you hear maybe is, you know, buy the biggest size you can because your per thing cost is going to be less. And then if you want to divide that up into smaller packs, well, you can do that. One of the things I remember hearing somewhere in the dim distant past was that something like, 99% of the coupons that are offered, no one ever redeems them. Now, I suppose you don't want to use a coupon just because you got it if it's something you're not going to buy anyway.
Right.
But can it really – and I know there are some people that are just – they elevate this to a very high art, you know, clipping coupons.
And they save a lot of money. They save a lot of money when they do that. Yeah, I mean, really, there's just, you know, some – literally, it's stair-step plans. It sounds really simple, but to get the most food out of your dollars, you need to plan. You absolutely need to plan. You can't just walk into the grocery store and start picking things out. 9 times out of 10, you'll pick up stuff you didn't intend to get, and then you'll get home and still not have the one thing that you needed or two things that you needed. It does help if you plan some snacks and meals for several days, possibly a week or two. It depends on your family, how often you go, that kind of thing. But the less often we're in the grocery store, the less money we're going to spend. I mean, mm-hmm. We're going to save more money. Think about, you know, the different types of places that are available to get things at a lower cost as well. Like, for example, a bread store. It's usually a lot less expensive to go there and get some day-old bread and get some of the bargains that are there for the snacks and different things and put that in the freezer than it is to go into the store and just pick a loaf off the shelf. And I'm speaking of, you know, feeding 4 kids there. That's one of the tricks that I did a long time ago. Also, you know, when you go to plan, check for what you've already got. Sometimes we end up throwing food out that we bought that we forgot that we had, and then you get in the refrigerator and it's already there and you might have to throw it out because it's old and, you know, anything you're throwing away, obviously, you're not saving any money on. So check to see what you have on hand, and that goes hand in hand with checking with those ads on usually the Sunday paper, the Wednesday paper around here. But, you know, look for what's on sale that week and plan around that, what you need to use up, what else you need to go get. Plan several things, especially with meat. You can extend it that way if you can buy a bigger container of meat and then, you know, plan to use this much of it for, you know, tacos or spaghetti or something like that and use the rest of it for a different dish. Or prepare 2 dishes at the same time and eat one and freeze one. Those type of things really help.
Okay. We have about 10 minutes left here in this part of Focus 580. We're just trying to spend some time this morning talking about how do you save money in your daily life. And our two guests are Angela Reinhardt and Steve Ayers. They both work in the Champaign County Office of U of I Extension. Angela, her thing is family life, and she's worked in a lot of areas, including family nutrition and financial skills. And Steve, his thing is farm business and marketing. And if you have some suggestions for us, and we have several people here all lined up, we'll be happy to take the call. We'll try to get as many as we can. We'll start up next with someone in Sycamore, up in the northern part of the state, line number 4. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
I want to put a caveat on a couple of things that I've heard so far this morning. One is about combining garbage pickup. Depending on who your waste management is or waste hauler is, they don't allow that. We tried to do that with a neighbor of ours, and we called the hauler to see if that was how we could do that. And they promptly informed me that if they caught us doing it, they would drop us as a customer. So
that's pretty churlish.
Yeah, I mean, but they definitely don't allow that. So if any of your other listeners were thinking that that might be a way to save money, they should definitely check with their hauler first.
All right.
And the other item I had was about pre-soaking your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher. That is an item which it may sound like a lot of extra work and maybe wasteful of some cold water, but it will save you in the long run because you won't have any effort involved in clearing the filters or cleaning your dishwasher. We have pre-soaked for 11 years and never had to touch the dishwasher in any way because all it does is sanitize and dry and degrease is mainly what you're doing with your dishwasher when you do that.
All right.
And that's really about all I have for today.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the comment. Let's continue, and we'll go next to Fisher. This is line number one. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A wonderful program. A quick little comment on that garbage pickup. Champaign-Urbana needs to, they've got a garbage separation station there in north side of Urbana. They need to build a digester to take organic garbage and turn it into methane gas. My neighbor built one in his backyard 20 years ago, and he had a master's degree in environmental engineering, and he produced methane gas for a year, and then we dumped it out at the end of the year, and it is totally odorless and looked like paper mache. But let's get back to energy conservation. I lived for a year overseas. My dad is a professor on sabbatical leave, so we went to a three-bedroom house to a place in a foreign country where we were lucky to get the house up to 50 degrees in the wintertime. So you learn to live in the cold. What I do is I zone heat in my house. I don't heat the rooms unless I'm in it, and I learn to keep the temperature down. I also have good quality LCD temperature gauges, so I know what's really going on. I also monitor my humidity, and I raise my humidity in the wintertime so my skin is less efficient in cooling, so I feel more comfortable, and just the opposite in the summertime and ceiling fans. Screw-in fluorescent light bulbs I've been using ever since they came out. And what I really like is the newer ones with the 5,000 to 6,000 degrees Kelvin color temperatures is better for your reading and closer to the sunlight cycle. It's very desirable. Let's see what else I was going to say. A friend and I went down to Salem, Illinois about a month ago. We drove in his Ford Taurus, and he got 23 miles per gallon driving down there, and he knew my reputation for driving for better gas economy, so we topped up the tank and we came back. First thing I did is I checked the air pressure in the tires and raised them up a little higher to where they should have been. And I drive with cruise control, and I drove within 2 miles of an hour of the speed limit, and I raised it up to 32 miles per gallon. Let's see what else. Just learn to put on sweaters. I mean, I lived in a cold climate and no central heat. I know what it's like, and I've tried to live that way ever since then. I mean, you don't have to be frozen. But there's lots of ways. Fast food will just kill your budget just quick as can be. Another thing is the soda pop. Don't get me started on that. That's expensive. That costs lots of money any way you look at it. And do you really need it? Let's see what else. I use synthetic oil in my car, and that helps a little bit. There's just lots of things you can do, tiny things. You've got a good program. I thought I'd just add a
few. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I think that the two, particularly two things that I think kind of stand out in my mind are for fuel economy. I think it's been established that there is a relationship between how fast you drive and the mileage you're going to get on the car. And there's been a little bit of hoo-ha lately about the idea of tire pressure and whether that's a good thing or not. Well, in fact, yeah. If your tires are properly inflated, that can make a significant difference. And if you're, you know, at the price of gasoline, you squeeze out as many miles a gallon as you can. And for such an easy thing, you know, just get yourself a tire gauge and look in your manual, see what it says, and make sure that it's at that.
Well, also rotate your tires on a regular basis makes them last longer, too.
Oh, just the other thing, and I think that I'm sure that some people there maybe have been hesitant to try the compact fluorescents because they don't like the way that the light looks. And there, as the caller said, you need to pay attention to, you need to start reading the labels on the lights. The color temperature makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you can find a light that you'd like the look of, but you got to know what it is you're buying. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think my husband loves those things. You can talk to him. He's one of the cheerleaders for them. I think he's replaced every single light bulb we've had in our house with those. And we haven't, noticed any difference. In most cases, they're brighter in some cases than the bulbs that we had, even though they're the same wattage.
And do you think that that's made a difference in your power bill?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Chamonix and Champagne. This is line number two. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things I'd like to add, but one of the things, my son is in the service and he's divorced, so he's supporting two children and living on his own. And one, he went to a session of that was offered by the Army, and they made one of the things they made very clear was you will probably do better in saving money if you have a buddy that you're accountable for the money that you're spending. And many times divorced parents don't have a spouse there to help balance out, well, where is our money actually going? And so it was kind of hard for him, but he found a buddy, and he realized that every time he took the kids to to stop at a station or stop at a, stop to get gas or whatever, they kept wanting sodas, they wanted this and that, and he would often, pay a buck and a half for a drink and a buck and a half for some candy or cookies or something for the, so he made a pact with a buddy, and then he kept track of all of that, and now he's made a pact with his kids that he'll give them a small allowance and they can have that much, and at the end of the week, if they have some money left over, they get that in their savings account, and they put that, he'll match what they have left. And even a six-year-old is so proud of looking in his, they put it on the computer, he can look in his computer and see what's in his savings account. So he has them begging for a lot less of the sugar stuff and proud of themselves for saving a little money. And he said, I've got my budget under control. So I thought that would be something that, if you have a buddy that you're accountable for the money that you're spending, it makes it, every time you stop to put your hand in your pocket, you say, how am I going to explain this to my buddy? So anyway, I thought that would be something else that would add to the discussion.
Great.
And I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I think particularly I also like the dimension there of getting kids to start thinking about money and about where it comes from and how much they have, and the idea that you got this much money, you got some choices that you have to make, and also the idea of starting young, getting them thinking about saving. All those, I think, also is really good things. I'm sure that's an area that you work with people a lot too.
Exactly. And even when you have tight times, when kids know kind of the picture of things, then they're a lot more likely to comply with things too and not feel like they're asked to give up their favorite things, like what she was saying, that it really is a great habit he's instilling in those kids, and more people need to be doing that.
There's some excellent 4-H curriculums on both entrepreneurship and also managing money.
Okay. And is that the kind of thing, can you get at that through the through U of I Extension?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I want to make sure you mention that again for people who have internet access. Extension has all kinds of very useful, practical information about the kind of stuff that we've been talking about here today. So if you're looking for ideas to try and help your life move a little bit more smoothly and save money, you want to go to the Extension website and take a look at that. And then is the easiest thing just to put into your browser, University of Illinois Extension?
Right. And that'll pop up, and then there are various programs in home and families, and then under home and families you'll see the money management segment.
Okay.
Or, our local website's www.extension.uiuc, and UIUC stands for University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, Edu, and then a / you can put in any county that you're wanting. You can put in Champaign or you can put in state. On state, there's a thing on there, find a county office, and it'll let you search for whatever area of the state that you're in that you're looking for, their website. But all of us as a whole state have many of these same resources on our different individual county websites.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm trying to sneak in one more caller here real quick in Monticello, line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I know time is short. I have an idea for saving some money. The price of laundry detergent has gone up exorbitantly in the last several months in the store, and I ran across a website where you can make your own. And the website is soapsgonebuy.com, and it just takes washing soda, 20 Mule Team Borax with 1/3 bar of Sells Naphtha soap and water, and that's it to make your own laundry detergent.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate that. I think I have heard from time to time about people doing making other kinds of home cleaning products, making their own versions and having it be a lot cheaper than if you go down to the market or the home store or wherever and buy laundry detergent and window cleaner and, you know, all of those kinds of things. You can, in fact, do that on your own.
Yes, and this website has a recipe for those as well.
And that's Soaps Gone By is what it's called? And that's it's B-U-Y.
Yes.
Okay, great.
All right.
I thank you very much. We're going to have to stop. Again, I think one of the best pieces of information we can give to people is that there is an extension person close to you, an extension office close to you, and they're certainly accessible on the web and by telephone, and that there are people all over the state whose job it is to try to help and provide this kind of information to folks. And that online, certainly there's lots and lots of good stuff along these lines. So do that. So check out extension, and you can get in touch with a person if you need to, and you can also get that information online if you want to go that way. We appreciate very much you being here. And last thing that you'd want to leave with folks?
You might try an experiment. Is just save your spare change for a month and put a container on your in your bedroom and throw your spare change in there, and it will astonish you how much that adds up.
All right. Our guests, Steve Ayers and Angela Reinhardt, they both work in the Champaign County Office of U of I Extension. Thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it.